Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This week we hear the famous story of the visit of the Magi to the child Jesus. And we hear this in conjunction with the story from Luke about the shepherds who come to visit the baby in the manger. These two stories are different, yet they serve as bookends to the Christmas holiday. And we can notice the similarities and the differences here. The similarities, I think, are more important than the differences. In both cases, divine messengers have conveyed a message to outsiders, whether it's the shepherds, who are considered to be dirty and ruffians and people you wouldn't associate with, or the Magi, who are foreigners, who are outsiders, who are not us. And there's a lot for us to take away from this message, I think, particularly in this time and era when we are having some contentious discussions around immigrants and refugees and people who just don't look like us. However, we're not going to focus on that today. Instead, I'd like us to focus a little bit more on the story of the Magi and another character who appears here. And that, of course, would be Herod. Now, we don't know much about the Magi. We don't know how many there were. We don't know their names. We don't know whether they were men or women. We don't know what they did professionally for a living. And, of course, we don't know where they came from. But we do know a bit about Herod. We do know that Herod the Great was the first of his family to serve as the king of Israel. He was the first in his line to assume that throne in Jerusalem. He was a bounder. He was cruel. He was paranoid. He was a master builder. He was interested in himself. He also had the backing of the Romans, which is what enabled him to stay in power for more than 40 years and then pass on his realm to his sons. Now, I normally don't like to draw analogs between scripture and events that have taken place in the modern day, but I can do that with Herod. And the figure I'm thinking of course, is Kim Il-sung, the first dictator of North Korea, who served in his leadership role in Pyongyang for a long time. He ruled the country with an iron fist. He was paranoid. He passed on power to his son. And, of course, he had the backing of the Soviet Union. So we can just remember some of the things that Kim Il-sung did, and we can envision Herod. He was bad news. But he still ruled the roost in Jerusalem. And he did that in part through the exercise of raw power. He did that through building monuments, which was very important to leaders in the ancient world, as it can be today. The temple that Jesus visited during his ministry had been refurbished by Herod. Fortifications had built around the kingdom, including the facility Masada. So Herod had built up a lot of power and a lot of resources to support him in his mission ministry. But he was never secure, and the longer he stayed in power, the more paranoid he became. But to that paranoia and that fear, he married wiliness and caginess. So when these Magi show up from the east, saying that they had wanted to come to see the baby who was born as king of the Jews, all the alarm bells would have been going off in Herod's head, and he was worried. But he's smart. And he convinces the Magi at first that he too wants to go pay homage to the child. So he sends them on their way to find the child and then to report back to him on the baby's location. Now, we hear also that the chief priests and the scribes, who are essentially the leadership in Jerusalem, were in cahoots with Herod. All Jerusalem was afraid. Why? Because their position, their perks, and their power were threatened by this prophecy. And we learn a lot about these people by knowing that even though they hear the prophecy, they aren't curious in investigating it. Instead, they just want to double down on selling out to Herod. The Magi are a different story. They don't think about what the king might want to give them. Instead, they go to Bethlehem to visit the baby. Now, we don't know how old Jesus was at the time this story took place. Matthew refers to the child and not to an infant or a baby. And we know Matthew, having written a long gospel, was pretty careful about the words he chose. So we can presume that some time had passed since the actual birth of Jesus and the visit of these Magi. When they got there, they paid Jesus homage. And they shared gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Again, Scripture does not tell us why they shared those gifts. We've been able to infer reasons, but the truth is, they may just have thought, here is a special baby, we are going to share some things that are really valuable with him. And then we hear that they had a dream. And in that dream, they've been told to head home by another way. Now, Herod, we presume, had soldiers at his disposal, and he probably had border guards. And so the Magi would have been taking a risk not going back to Jerusalem, but heading off back to their homes in the east. But they did that. And I think that's because the Magi were motivated by hope. By hope of finding truth, by hope of experiencing something special, by hope that had been inspired by God. And that's completely different from what motivated Herod, who was driven by fear and paranoia. And as we conclude this Christmas, we're reminded that the stories in Scripture don't just tell us of things that happened a long time ago. They also tell us something that we need to hear and we need to think about. And now at this time when we're beginning a new year, we need to ask ourselves, what course are we going to follow? What path will we choose? And this passage from Matthew presents us with a pretty stark choice. We can choose the path of fear, or we can choose the path of hope. In Herod, we see fear embodied. We see insecurity. We see paranoia. We see a worldview that has been curdled. In the Magi, we see something different. We see hope. We see curiosity. We see a willingness to explore, to be open to what God might show us. In Herod, we see someone who is only interested in himself. And we know throughout his reign, he had people he considered to be opponents killed. The Magi, on the other hand, were interested in something beyond themselves. They were interested in meeting this child who was from a different people. And they took a risk for him. And then they shared their treasures with him. In Herod, we see an investment of trust in power, in false idols, in a belief that someone bigger or stronger than us can take care of our problems or provide us with protection. In the Magi, we see a willingness to invest our faith and trust in God, to see where that God may lead us. So as we begin a new year and as we conclude our Christmas celebration, we have a choice to make, and it's a pretty simple one. Are we going to choose the path of fear, or are we going to choose the way of hope? I believe that God in Jesus was hope embodied, and that hope is available to you and to me. Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the gift of this Christmas season. We thank you for the gift of Epiphany. We thank you for speaking to women and men throughout the ages in different ways, and we hope that we will hear your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.